Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Ah, man. So yesterday morning, I'm doing the Bronco pregame show with D-Mac.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We were talking about, okay, we got the Broncos, we got the Rockies, and you got the Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
You know, which team do you think is the best chance to win? And I said, you know what? I have a feeling it's going to be the Rockies.
Right.
And sure enough.
You were right.
The Rockies won. And the Broncos and the Nuggets both lost. And oh, those two losses. All right, so where to start? I mean, really. I mean, where do we start? I guess we'll start with the Broncos. All right, tell me what happened. I want to know what happened on the play that got Locke hurt. Whose fault is this? Because if Drew Locke is going to be out for a long time and this season has been basically cratered, I want to know who to blame.
Yeah, I mean, who to blame? Watching TV copy. Before I really give you the who to blame, you know, there's pressure, as there was the entirety of the day. It really came from the left side because Dalton Risner and Garrett Bowles didn't pick up an end, a tackle end stunt. So the end looped around Dupree, but there was initial pressure that made Drew Locke fall out of the pocket. To his right, escape out of the pocket. And I think that obviously came from the right side. So, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. They didn't do a good job of picking up that stunt. And, Bud Dupree, that was a stunt you need to pass off. And for whatever reason, they didn't get it passed off. So Bowles ended up chasing Dupree. Instead of passing, taking the defensive end, you know, coming down, what you're taught to do or what you're trained classically to do is when you get that look and that defensive end starts to loop, open your hip and go trap the defensive tackle. Go trap his ass, right? Knock your guard off so your guard can pick up the looper. Well, he just stood there and then he was in a chase mode and didn't get that done. Then he was chasing Dupree. The good news is he got the tackle. On the he has one defensive statistic. He's got a tackle, so that's
tackled by Bowles.
So that was, you know, I mean, that was good. So that's what ended up happening there.
All right, so what does this injury mean? What is Locke being out for a significant amount of time?
I don't want to belabor the point, you know. I don't want to be all doom and gloom here. I mean, honestly, do you see how fast we were? I mean, the speed. Did you see how fast we were?
There was a lot of speed on this.
Yeah, just, I mean, we're so fast. So, you know, I mean, we should be fine. We got all that speed out there. Since we started down this path, you made a really ugly accusation a week ago. I mean, ugly. And, yeah, I'm not one to, I told you so. I'm not one to rub people's nose in it, but you know, you're like a puppy and you piddled in the corner and I'm going to let you know that that's not appropriate. I'm going to stick your nose in it and I'm going to send you off outside. So
right, I have no idea what this is about.
All right, go.
Can we hold that for a second? No, we got to do it now. All right, what is this about?
All right, go ahead.
All off season, while you were just
pushing
the panic button.
Oh, here we go.
Why didn't we draft a tackle?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the ruination of the Denver Broncos. Oh, all off season, just crying the O-line blues. And I kept telling you, Mark, it's not going to be that bad. The interior of the offensive line isn't that bad. And Drew Locke's mobility, able to escape pressure, is going to make the offensive line look better than it really is. Are you now willing to come out and admit that you were wrong about the widespread panic that you created all summer long regarding this offensive line? You're fear-mongering.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an accusation that was thrown my way last week because, you had a false sense of security after the Tennessee game. And, now I would like your apology.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
What?
No. No. No way.
7 sacks and 19 hits. 19 QB hits.
Against a defense that is thought to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're going to do that to a lot of teams. Not just the Broncos. They're going to do that to a lot of teams.
Okay, so you're okay with that. That, I mean.
I'm not okay with it, but I understand.
I've seen turnstiles take less spins at the subway in New York than what Kush was on yesterday.
Really? Rough day for Kush?
Oh, rough day for Kush.
What you do have is my word. It's stronger than oak.
I remember when everybody said, automatic upgrade. Yeah, we're going to be fine there. Yeah, McGovern gets $9 million a year. We're better there. We're better there. We got ourselves a third rounder from LSU. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be. I told you there would be growing pains along the way, and I'm with you on this. They are outstanding off the edge. But they ain't 7 sacks, 19 QB hits outstanding. We helped them with that a heck of a lot.
Well, it doesn't help that you have a backup quarterback who probably got zero reps during training camp.
Was he going to block somebody? I mean, dude, it was when Bolsey, like when, you know how hard I've been, when he's actually, I got to give him some credit. He's in the GB zone. Like, he actually played pretty well. Yeah, he's a couple mistakes here and there, but, you know, I mean, for the most part, I'm just talking about his sets and the way he's playing, the way he's on the edge. Just looking at it, and again, that's TV copy that I looked at last night because I don't have the coach's tape yet, but I'll have that probably this afternoon. I was looking at it. I think Bolsey was probably your best player up front.
Cool. What about the guy who's going to 10 straight Pro Bowls?
Yeah.
Dalton Risner
did not play very well either. Nobody, I mean, you give up 19 hits on your quarterback and 7 sacks. Nobody played well. Nobody.
All right. So, we'll get your reaction to, what went down yesterday in Pittsburgh. We got to get to the end of that crushing Nuggets loss last night and how the Nuggets misplayed that final sequence in which Anthony Davis was able to get free just enough to be able to put that game winner. Who wears the goat horns? We'll get to that coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's 5 dealers in 1 offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
A lot of time here. 2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
Oh, TNT. Absolute gut punch. And leading to all kinds of, I guess, second guessing as to how the Nuggets played that last shot, and specifically Mason Plumlee, did he make a huge blunder by not following Anthony Davis, who he was lined up with when the play began? Instead, Jeremy Grant, who was on LeBron, gave a little wag saying, "Hey, come help me." And LeBron said afterwards that he thought the ball was coming to, he was prepared to have the ball come to him. I don't know. It looked like he was just standing there, almost like as a decoy. But Plumlee came over. They doubled LeBron. That left Anthony Davis open, swinging beyond the three-point arc. Jokic did a fantastic job of going from harassing the inbound
to try to get out, and he actually did a pretty good contest. But that was a tremendous shot by Davis, and
incredible shot,
the game winner.
Incredible shot by Davis, but Plumlee tried to go underneath. So Grant was out there guarding.
He didn't even try to go underneath the screen. He just went right over to LeBron and stayed there.
Well, no, what he was trying to do is get him to Grant to switch, is what he was trying to do. But there was no pick established. So you gotta tailpipe that guy. You gotta get right in his hip and run with him. So he basically was like, oh, switch, 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 which you're not, that's not what you, the only time you switch is when you get picked. When they're setting up a pick, there was no pick there. You gotta get right on that guy's hip and I don't know what you're doing. Well, obviously I do know what you're doing. You were trying to switch it. You were trying to get Grant to come off on Anthony Davis, and you were going to pick up like LeBron, who was just, as you mentioned, standing there. And you know, the theory is you only switch on a defense when somebody's trying to pick you. LeBron didn't come out and establish himself and try to pick you as Anthony Davis went over the top. There was 5 yards of room there for you to run, and you ran right over there like switch, 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 pointing to Grant, and it's not the call. So, I don't know what you were thinking. Either you thought you were going to get picked, or you didn't want to guard Anthony Davis because he was the prime. I don't know. It was just a complete and total brain lapse. That said, what a shot.
That's a great shot.
I mean, and I'll give you Jokic. I mean, how about him coming out there playing that defense? I mean, amazing. But yeah. It's a great shot. It's disappointing in that. You didn't even give yourself a chance to contest that shot. Like, hey, listen, man, if someone knocks one down in your eye, as long as you're out there and you've contested it and you play good defense and he knocks it in your eye, hey, man, you know, tip your cap to that guy. But you didn't even give yourself a chance to defend the guy. And, you know, and Jokic, like you said, did a really good job of getting out there, but that was a beautiful shot. But a complete breakdown defensively by Mason Plumlee.
And it ruined a really heroic effort by Jokic at the end of the game, scoring, what, their last 11 points?
You guys are amazing.
I mean, he was amazing. He was terrific. Now the question is, you know, even though they lost, is this the kind of performance that gives the Nuggets a belief that, okay, we can play with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We took them right down. We took them right down to the end. Took a great shot by Anthony Davis to beat us. And yeah, we're down 2-0, but we've been in worse situations than this before. So is it almost can they be encouraged coming out of this, or is there a sense of discouragement that, you know, whatever we may have done against the Jazz and the Clippers, these ain't the Jazz and Clippers.
Right.
And it's a tough matchup for us.
Yeah.
And to win 4 of the next 5 is going to be tough.
Well, if you look at our two bigs, you know, two big players versus their two big players, Murray had 25, the Joker had 30. Anthony Davis had 31, James had 26.
Yeah, it was 57-55.
Right. Like, you get that kind of performance out of your two best players, and you would hope that, well, I mean, it was a close game. Obviously, it's a close game. I don't know. I mean, it's just the Lakers are just that good. I don't know that you're going to get any, you know, feeling of, oh, accomplishment. We're okay. We're in this thing. I don't think so.
And I tried to get out, and then I'm stumbling. I'm running around and tried to keep my feet. And then at the last second, I felt him trying to tuck it. And obviously, the ball came out, and then I fell on it weird. When I tried to tuck it last second.
All right, there's Drew Locke talking about what went down on that injury, and we'll await a couple of MRIs today. One for Locke, one for Cortland Sutton. There's concern about his knee, and see where the Broncos are at and how long they'll be without Drew Locke. And this Locke stuff, because I said the other day to you, Mark, that the only thing I'm really interested in this season, I'm not consumed with the idea of making the playoffs. That's not something that I think is really realistic. What I want to know by the end of this season is, do you have a real sense of where you're going with Drew Locke?
Right.
Whether or not he's the guy or not. And my fear is that he's going to be out long enough that it's going to make this like another incomplete. You know, there will not be a definitive grade. It'll just be incomplete. And then what do you do? Then where are you at?
Well, I think that depends on where you fall. What's your season look like? What's your record look like, Mike? Like, honestly, if you're a 5-11 team or a 6-10 team, you know, you're drafting in the top 10 area. Do you try to climb up to number one overall? Do you say, hey, man, we think that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent and that's where we're going? You know, or if you're 2-14 or 3-, I think it depends on where you are, how much draft capital you want to give up.
Look, if this team, I don't even want to contemplate all this, but if you end up with the worst record in the NFL and you have the number one pick in the draft, you got to take Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Because Trevor Lawrence passes one simple test for me. The reason why so many quarterbacks have been drafted in the first round. It's because the rules that changed with the rookie salary cap meant that you no longer had to give out those mega-million-dollar contracts to quarterbacks like Sam Bradford got and Matthew Stafford and Jamarcus Russell. Back then, you had to be really confident you were picking the right guy. With this rookie wage scale now, it's not as bad. And so what you have is you have a bunch of quarterbacks who, under the old rules, would not get picked in the first round. Sam Darnold would not go in the first round. Josh Rosen would not go in the first round. Baker Mayfield would not go in the first round. Did I say Josh Allen? Josh Allen wouldn't go in the first round. Now, to me, the question then becomes, okay, under the old rules, where you knew that you were signing up for basically $50, $60 million guaranteed before a guy even took a snap?
Yeah.
Would you take this guy? Trevor Lawrence? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he'd pass that test.
Right.
So, yeah, you know what? If this thing goes so south that you end up with the worst record and you're in the running for Trevor Lawrence, heck yeah, go for it.
And I think that's exactly, what you would have to do. Again, you know, I mean, you hope it doesn't go that way. And you would hope that this organization would find a way to win games and win close games. But there just seems to be a disconnect. There seems to be something missing when it comes to understanding, you know, how to make a play in crunch time, how to make a play when it counts, how to go out there and do something special, you know, when you're required to do that. It just feels a little off to me.
Okay, much more on the Broncos and the Nuggets losses. Did Nolan Arenado play his last game as a Rocky at Coors Field? Morning Brew, coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
As a backup quarterback, it's my job to be ready at all times. You never want to see your guy go down. But at the end of the day, that's my job to be ready to go and prepared all week. And, you know, my job is to give the team a chance to win, and we didn't do that. So got to make a couple more plays here or there, and maybe it's a different ballgame.
What did you think about the play of Jeff Driskel?
I thought he was sharp. I mean, under duress, the entirety of the game, he was sharp. I don't know what his statistical line was, but he went to the right places with the football. He was accurate. He looked like he was on time most of the time, you know, when he wasn't running for his life. So I thought Jeff Driskel, yeah, when you don't take, I mean, think about it. He probably didn't take a rep with the ones hardly at all through the whole training camp, through the whole first 2 weeks, and all of a sudden you're thrust in there. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knows where he's supposed to go with the football. He's a veteran quarterback, and And he's a professional, man. He was ready to roll.
18 of 34, 256 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked 6 times. So if he's going to have to be the Broncos quarterback for, let's say, the next 4 games, think they can go 2-2?
No.
But that's not...
It's not his fault. Yeah, it's not his. I mean, you're playing.
Drew Lock could be in there, and they could.
Right.
Go.
Who are you playing? You're playing Tampa. You're playing
at the Jets, at the Patriots, home against the Dolphins. Those are your next 4.
Okay, yeah. I take that back. I'm going to rewind that. You got the potential to go 2-2.
Okay.
You might be able to beat the Jets or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Or both Jets and Dolphins.
Should be able to. Yeah. Better be able to. All right, next on the Morning Brew.
No moral victories, no silver linings. Gave ourselves a chance to win tonight. Obviously, Anthony Davis hits a big 3 to win the game at the buzzer. So we'll watch the film, see what happened on that last play. And the message is, you know, we're down 2-0. Let's go out and win game 3.
Yeah, there's Michael Malone, and that's what's being debated. And haven't got a clear answer yet. I don't think anybody wants to throw anybody under the bus. As to whose fault it is, the TNT crew, I think it was Kenny Smith, as soon as they showed that highlight for the first time, you heard him saying, oh, Plumlee, you got it. Plumlee, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like Plumlee's wearing the goat horns for this one.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, you gotta chase that, man. You can't just let that guy go out the 3-point arc without, you know, without defending it.
Okay, but you got 2 choices. You got 2 choices there.
Okay.
You have one is you have Anthony Davis swinging out beyond the 3-point line, taking a semi-contested 25-footer.
Okay.
Or you got the chance of LeBron James with Jeremy Grant on him just diving to the basket for a potential alley-oop or whatever, knowing that if you breathe on him, the whistle's going to blow.
So you think that's...
I would have preferred, give me Davis being forced to make that shot,
right,
rather than the idea of LeBron just crashing to the hoop.
The point is that was the man you were checking. And they didn't set a pick. You tried to switch it. It's, you know, that's the man you're checking. That's the man you got to stay on. And he didn't do that. I don't know that he was. I mean, I would understand it if he wasn't yelling for a switch. You can see him yelling for a switch. If he was just going over there to double team LeBron and they said, hey, we're going to let Anthony Davis hit one from 3. Like, we're going to let that happen. And Jokic, you go out there and try to contest it. But that wasn't what happened. It wasn't like, hey, let's make sure that we don't let LeBron, you know, spin out and go for an alley-oop.
By the way, Nuggets had a foul to give. What is it? With our fouls to give and timeouts to burn.
They're young men, and they have urges.
Joel Platt is probably sitting on eBay trying to buy it right now.
We don't use them.
No.
We get left with timeouts and fouls in our pocket. Next on the Morning Brew.
Fuentes up the middle, base hit. That'll play Josh. Tapia scores. Here comes Pilar. Bellinger's throw is not in time. 2-0 Colorado. How about that, Josh Fuentes? Dick shot.
All right, there is Drew Goodman as he was making the call on the Rockies' final home game of the season. They finish 12-18 at home in this abbreviated 60-game push. 12-18. Nolan Arenado on this Sunday afternoon, Jim Tracy style, did not play. So did Nolan Arenado's Rockies Coors Field career end with a whimper yesterday?
Wow. Okay, did he have heavy legs? Why didn't he play?
Is that it? Does he get traded this offseason?
It feels that way. Does it not feel that way? It feels that way, Mike. Feels like this relationship, hey, it isn't you, it's me. We need to move on.
You know what? I love Nolan Arenado, but
this season, this abbreviated season was set up in such a way that your best players had to be your best players. And there was no room for, well, it's a long season, we'll kind of find our groove as we go along. Nope. You had to come on, you had to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be able to handle any 0-for-4s and be able to bounce back quickly.
Right.
And you're being paid $30 million plus a season to do that. And he didn't do it. He came up woefully short. And I think we learned a lot about Nolan Arenado, about how much you can really depend on him and build around him. If you could bring back a haul for him, do it.
You can get pitchers like Wade Davis.
They just went 12-18 at home.
This
with
is
Nolan Arenado. They can go 12-18 at home without him.
The issue is, though, if you trade him, do you trust that the brain trust over there can get the haul that is actually...
Of course not. But at some point, if this thing is ever going to turn around, at some point, they're going to have to be able to negotiate a haul.
Right.
And if they continue to have people here that can't do that, then this thing is eternally screwed. Sorry to be a pessimist about it, but that's the way it is.
12-18 at home.
Yep.
My goodness.
They started the season 11-3.
And we have zero chance, right? I mean, zero chance.
I don't know. I mean,
of being a wild card team.
Technically, they have a 2.1% chance of being a playoff team. They started 11-3. Since then, they are 12-26.
Wow.
Okay. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat. Man, he was calling for Vic Fangio's head before yesterday. What's he saying now? We'll hear him next.
The Broncos suffered insult and injury.
All right, let's say good morning to our pal James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com. Breathing fire this morning. So let me see, James. On Friday, we had you on. And later in the day, with us, you said Vic Fangio should be fired right now. I can only imagine how you feel after yesterday.
Yes, it's reinforced my belief. I mean, once again, a game that, they hung around and people in this town want to give out orange slices, apparently, because being close is good enough. But they hung around, had a chance to win, but couldn't make the one or two key plays. You got a 3rd and 2 at the 15-yard line. You got Melvin Gordon, the guy you gave $16 million to in the offseason in the backfield, and you decide to let Jeff Driscoll throw the ball twice. But and look, I know he's not making the offensive play calls, but then it's his defense that can't get the ball back once again in the final 2 minutes, despite the fact that everybody knows James Conner is going to get the ball. So, yeah, it was just more of the same with Vic Fangio. Another close loss, another game where his team played hard, and I guess he gets credit for that. But at the end of the day, it's a results-oriented business, and the results are they're 0-2, and they're now 7-11 during his tenure, and they continue to lose games that they could win. So, yeah, I'm very much still in that camp.
But how enthused were you and how encouraged were you by their speed?
Yeah, their speed didn't do them much good yesterday.
Oh, really? Really? You mean you still have to block people? Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the 7 sacks that they gave up, all that speed didn't do them a whole lot of good. But, you know, it's the sloppy play, too, that we continue to see that, you know, 2 years ago when these things were happening with Vance Joseph, man, everybody wanted to run him out of town. But now when Sam Martin drops a punt, it's, well, what's the head coach supposed to do about that? And when, you know, Deontay Spencer continues to bring kicks out of the end zone and gets to the 20 instead of taking the knee and starting at the 25, it's, you know, it's guy just trying to make a play. It's just the constant free pass for Teflon Vic just drives me up a wall. I mean, they just do the little things that gets you beat. And then yesterday there were some big things too, and not being able to block people was certainly high atop the list. And now, you know, and I've been saying this for months, that it's not really about the record this year. 2020 was all about finding out if Drew Locke is the guy or not. And now you're looking at 2 to 6 weeks where you're not going to get to see anything from him. Now even that test and that goal for this year is kind of out the window. And, you know, it may not be fair, but I think part of the assessment of Drew Locke now is, hey, he's played 7 games and this is the second time he's been injured. And, you know, first time he had to go on IR and this time he's going to miss significant time. That's part of the assessment because, you know, a big portion of that job is, can you show up every Sunday? That's now a question mark with Drew Locke, which stinks, but that's just the reality of it.
Visiting with James Merrilet, who, in your opinion, was to blame on that game winner by Anthony Davis?
Well, I think it's two people that are atop the list. One, Mason Plumlee. I don't know what he's doing, and he comes in for a defensive substitution, and then he's that lost on the play. They might as well have, you know, pulled a Normandale from Hoosiers and played with four because he was just nowhere to be found. But the other part of it is, you know, Michael Malone, the head coach, has to be somewhat to blame too. His team's got to know the situation, and you've got a foul to give, and you let a guy catch it and shoot a wide open three with 2 seconds left. That is fairly inexcusable. But you know what, Mike, it's just, and I was waiting for it to come, right? At some point, the Nuggets were going to be the Nuggets, and, you know, Mike Conley's shot went in and out, and that was unusual for the Nuggets. And coming back from 3-1 deficit, that's unusual. But the fatalistic Nuggets fan in me just was reminded of what it's like to cheer for this team for 4 decades, because last night was just a kick in the gut. Game one, you're down 25, you lose. You know, you can flip over and watch something else, and you're over it pretty quick. Last night, they claw all the way back, look like they're going to get back in the series. And just the ultimate gut punch. But yeah, if you're gonna point the finger of blame, it's at Mason Plumlee, number one. He's on the court. He's the guy that can do something about it. But Michael Malone doesn't get away scot free either. He's got to make sure his guys know the situation, and they clearly didn't.
The mentality of the Nuggets after a loss like that, a gut punch like that, do they have confidence now that, hey, we can run with the Lakers? Or do you think it's just one of those, oh, here we go. You know, just like, where do you think their mentality is after that tough loss?
If you'd asked me a month ago, I'd have said it's B. But after what we saw against the Jazz and against the Clippers, I think there's a chance that it's A. I think it might be a little bit like second half of game 5 against Utah, when they finally kind of figured things out defensively and found a way to slow down the Jazz. And then that carried over. They won that game, but then that carried over into game 6 and game 7. You know, hopefully it's something where they look at it and say, hey, we figured this team out a little bit. If we do that from the start of the games and don't dig ourselves a huge hole, we got a shot against these guys. I mean, look, I'm going to look at it and say, what are the odds they're going to win 4 out of 5 games against the Lakers? Not very good, but I guess I'd be a really slow learner if I counted the Nuggets out, because they've proven me wrong the last month. So I think there's a chance they're encouraged by it and feel some confidence and learn something from it. But, man, it's a tall order facing them now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I definitely want to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
But, boy, that's a tough one to lose. But we'll see. We'll see how they bounce back coming up tomorrow night. James, thank you.
You bet, guys. Talk to you soon.
Merrilet from 1043thefan.com. on the Fireball Hotline. Coming up next, do the Broncos deserve credit for a moral victory? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.